Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper. Today is Wednesday, July the 31st in the year 2013 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and with us in our virtual studio is Dr. Ari Tuckman. And our topic today is attending to self-esteem and confidence. And I think we're going to have a real exciting show today. Dr. Tuckman, you and I had a conversation about this a little bit in Detroit at the ADD conference to get ready for it. Remember that?
I do.
It's kind of cool because I like to thank Dr. Russ Ramsey because I was like, who can I do this stuff with? And he said, well, you know, Ari's been doing some stuff on this, and Ari likes to come up with some really good ideas from presentations, and we had some conversations, and I think a lot of tonight is going to be us sharing some thoughts and ideas, and if you guys aren't careful out there, you might see this show up sometime in a CHAD conference or an ADA conference or an ACO conference. Is that a deal, Dr. Tuckman?
Sure. I'm always game.
All right. Real quick, again, this is Attention Talk Radio. We are a part of the Attention Talk Network, which includes Attention Talk Video and Attention Talk News. For those out there who are in the Dallas area, a couple quick announcements is the CHAD Regional Conference is in Dallas, September the 21st. For more information on that, go to chadd.org. And the annual conference is this year in the D.C. area. From November the 7th to the 9th, and for more information, again, go to chadd.org. I know I'm going to be there. Dr. Tuckman, are you? I'm guessing you're going to be there. Are you presenting this year?
I am. What am I presenting on? I think I'm presenting on mindset, having a stronger mindset.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be talking a little bit about that tonight in terms of confidence and self-esteem, because that is a little bit about mindset. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Or the mindset you have absolutely affects your self-esteem in terms of how you interpret things. And then coming back the other way, the self-esteem that you have affects how you affects your mindset and how you interpret things. So, yeah, these are absolutely part of a circle.
This might show up sooner than you think from this conversation. real quickly, for anybody who's a regular listener to Attention Talk Radio, Dr. Tuckman's story. We've had him on a gazillion times. He's one of my favorites in an area that I like to have a conversation about stuff that's not necessarily mainstream. There's a lot of people that talk about self-esteem out there, but I don't think they talk about it in the way we're going to do it tonight. So real quickly, a little background. He's a clinical psychologist who specializes in diagnosing and treating children, teens, and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. He's the author of three books, Understand Your Brain, Get More Done, the ADHD Executive Functions Workbook, then More Attention, Less Deficit, Success Strategies for Adults with ADHD, and Integrative Treatment for Adult ADHD, a practical, easy-use guide for clinicians. He's a frequent speaker. Matter of fact, I don't think I've been to a conference that you weren't speaking at, Dr. Tuckman. matter of fact, when I love going to, and I get the PowerPoints, and they always make for some great shows because I can kind of hone in on some. So he's really good at that. He's also written, he's got more than a million downloads of his own podcast off of his website, and he has over 100 episodes. Help me out here. Over 100 episodes or more of More Attention, Less Deficit. I'm sorry. I'm misreading your bio. You have more than a million downloads of the podcast related to More Attention, Less Deficit, the book.
Right. Right. So I do the podcast about 100 and something episodes at this point, a million, like 1.25 million downloads or something. So, you know, people, there's a hunger for good information out there. I think that's what it tells you.
So you can't afford not to go to adultadhdbook.com for that. And can they get the podcast off that website?
They can. They can get it off of my website. They can also get it off of iTunes.
Awesome. All right. So, Dr. Tuckman, the meat of the show. I can't wait for this. And everybody, tonight is going to be really fun because we've talked about this a little bit, but I think some new stuff's going to pop in. So the first question I've got to ask you, Dr. Tuckman, what is self-esteem?
Well, self-esteem is, it's how you see yourself do you see yourself in a positive light or in a negative light? And, of course, in order to answer that question, we need to ask the question, well, compared to who? Because, you know, we do what's called social referencing. So we look at other people around us and we say, how do I stack up compared to these other people? So, you know, how do I feel about my qualities, my abilities, about just sort of who I am compared to the other people that are around me? So that's a quickie definition of self-esteem.
I like that. I did a little bit of like looking on the internet and stuff of how you feel about yourself or the story that you tell about yourself. So at the end of the day, what I'm hearing you say in the definitions that you're describing that I'm reading, it's really self-esteem is a lot in your head.
It's absolutely in your head. It's all in your head.
Ooh. Talk more about it's all in your head.
So, well, and this, of course, kind of bleeds into the whole, you know, mindset thing that we were talking about, that, you know, how you feel about yourself and how you feel about other people, we tend to think of these things as if they're sort of set or measurable. But we always we put a spin on everything that happens around us, and we interpret it. And, you know, we can look at it as, you know, and then we kind of interpret it, we label it. Like, that was a good thing, that was a bad thing, or this was my fault, this was his fault. You know, or I get credit for this, he gets credit for this. So we look, you know, we're always kind of making sense of what happens around us. So, you know, just as a simple example, let's say you're at work today, your boss chews you out, like really kind of rips into you about something. Now, there's a couple different ways, just to be really simple, there's a couple different ways to interpret it. One of them is, I'm such a terrible employee, I make these kind of mistakes all the time, and essentially I deserve to be yelled at. That's one way of interpreting it. The other way of interpreting it is to say, what is wrong with my boss? Like, what is going on with her that, you know, she ripped into me like that? Because I'm doing a fine job. I mean, okay, I made a bit of a mistake on that, but, like, no bigger than the mistakes anybody else makes. So this is, there's something going on with her about this. So exact same circumstance in terms of what happened and what a video camera would capture, but the meaning that the person makes of it in these two scenarios is completely different, and how it affects her self-esteem is going to be completely different. But of course, it's their self-esteem perhaps that influences how they interpret it in the first place. So this is kind of that kind of circle we're talking about.
Well, you know, Dr. Tuckman, this is Attention Talk Radio, and we do pay attention to what a person is paying attention to. And
right.
At the end of the day, it is all in your head, and it is a function of what you're paying attention to. And I can't wait, because I think this is going to be the makings of a really good show, the way this is being teed up. As an aside, we've had other shows on negative self-talk, which is, in Dr. Barclay's language you direct back to yourself, or the story that you're telling yourself. And I know as an attention coach, when I'm coaching people, so many often people come in and we're conditioned as people to pay attention to what's not working to the point that we're not so sure we can recognize on to focus on what is working. And the illustration that you described a second ago is very simple, as you can look at something that's being presented in the external world and you can interpret it as the negative side, or you can take a look at the positive side. But that process that you're going through, whether you're thinking of it or you're conditioned to do it, ends up formulating the story that you're telling yourself about yourself, which
right.
has an impact on self-esteem.
It does. And I think that, you know, to bring this back to the attention, or, you know, to look at this through the lens of attention, if you're down on yourself a lot, if you have kind of negative self-esteem, what you're going to pay attention to is, I messed that up, that could have been better, I should have done a better job on that. You pay attention to the negatives. Whereas if you feel pretty good about yourself and your abilities at work, then you're going to pay attention to, hey, that was pretty good, or, you know, the boss said I did a good job on that, or I, you know, during that presentation I was doing at that meeting at work, everyone seemed to be interested in following what I was saying. So, you know, it's what we pay. We like to think that we're paying attention to everything, but we really don't, not at all. And what you pay attention to colors the interpretations that you're going to have of the same events. And it's that situation where two people could be in the same situation and have very different impressions about what happened.
Yeah, I have to deviate right now. Everybody out there, if you go out on YouTube and you search for attention awareness test, okay, the thing will, a video will crop up. You got to look at the top. Mm-hmm. Somewhere in the top, there's a bunch. Look like a bunch of people. They're in black shirts and white shirts, and click on it and take the awareness test. And I'm not gonna preview it, but it brings out the notion of what we call attention blindness, and that is that you can't pay attention to everything. In that particular video, your attention is directed. And after it's over with, they ask you the question, and many people get the answer right. But then they ask you another question that was kind of going on that you didn't observe. And the question is you can't pay attention to everything at one time. And the question is what are you focusing on? And that's the sole focus of our show. The epicenter of it is I'm trying to illustrate is what is obvious is a function of what you're paying attention to, which comes back to self-esteem. Is in this conversation is this is all about kind of what's in your head. You can kind of control it, and it's really an attention exercise. And Dr. Tuckman, with that being said, we're talking about self-esteem, and when I hear the word self-esteem, so often I get a negative connotation because when I think of self-esteem in the context of what I hear every day, to me it's always gravitates to low self-esteem. Yet,
right.
When I hear the word confidence, I don't think of self-esteem at all, yet to me, isn't confidence, self-esteem, just positive as opposed to negative? Can you share your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, I hadn't really thought about it, but I think you're right that when self-esteem is brought up, like when the word self-esteem is said, it really, like most of the time, there's a negative connotation to it. You know, oh, he or she doesn't have, you know, good self-esteem, or they have low self-esteem, or no self-esteem, or something. But it's not as often that people say, oh, that person has good self-esteem. So I don't know what that tells us about our society, probably something. But but I think that confidence is related to self-esteem. And I think that here's kind of my top of the head sort of thinking about this. I think that confidence is feeling like there's a good chance that you can do something well. And I think that confidence and competence are often closely related. When you're competent at something, you're more likely to feel confident about your ability to do it. So
wow.
I think that confidence has more to do with, or is more involved with doing things, as opposed to self-esteem is a bit more kind of a feeling just that you have about yourself in a more general sense.
Whoa. I got to tell you, I'm having a lot of confidence and competence.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel like you're competent, that leads to confidence.
It should.
And if you don't feel competent, it would lead to self-esteem issues.
Right. You're not going to be confident about your ability to do something.
Oh, my God. All right, this is worth the price of admission already. All right, we can shut this thing off and come back to a sequel.
Right.
But I'm just sitting there because we're talking this we're talking about self-esteem, but we're also focused on those with ADHD, and I think the competence issue, which we're going to come back to here in a little bit, is kind of a big deal because if you feel competent, you can feel confidence, but if you don't feel competent, I can see how you can go to the negative side of it and tell yourself stories. That's the thing is, you know, you hear these things over and over and over, like you just sit down, shut up, don't do this, don't do that, over a period of time, you don't feel competent, and it can lead to negative self-esteem, yet I did a show with Dr. Barkley a couple of months ago on is ADHD a gift and a curse? And the gist of the show was I think everybody likes to destigmatize ADHD by calling it a gift. And he's saying, how can you do that and ask for accommodations? And the fun part of the show is I think he's been stigmatized as Dr. Evil. But in that show, I really kind of talked about I got my own issues. There's no question about that. But there's a certain amount of – there's everything that I know that I can do, and I feel competent in those, and it has always given me a bit of self-confidence. And I've never really felt like I've had negative self-esteem because deep down inside, I feel like I'm competent in certain things.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I'm talking out loud a little bit, but again, I love what you just said about competence leading to confidence. And if you don't feel competent, it can go to self-esteem. And over a period of time, if everybody tells you that you're not competent, after a while, and by the way, before we talked about it, you said a word, I loved it, learned helplessness, that
uh-huh.
if you hear this for a long period of time, then you learn how to be, how to have self-esteem issues because you've been told that a gazillion times, so you learn to be
right.
helpless. Wow.
Yeah. Well, and I think that in, you know, if we look at kind of like growing up, particularly with ADHD, but, you know, even for people without, that, you know, like teenagers are a great example of high confidence but low competence. So they feel like they're capable of doing more than at least their parents and teachers would often think they can do. You know, so, like, that's a good example of the two being out of sync.
Yep.
And, you know, there's a bunch of research out there that, you know, teens with ADHD particularly tend to overrate their abilities and underrate their difficulties as compared to what other people think about them.
Mm-hmm.
As they move into their 20s, they begin to get a bit more kind of, you know, awareness, a bit more insight, you know, maybe, or another way of putting it here is they pay better attention to what actually is happening. And, you know, they become more accurate reporters of how well they're doing. But I think that that what can happen is that, you know, when we talk about confidence, I think that we need to talk about it in terms of what domains of ability. So, for example, I feel very confident as a speaker. I feel not confident as a dancer. Like, I am a terrible dancer. I'm not good at it. I don't practice it as a result. I avoid opportunities to do it because it's not my thing, you know? So
So
we can be I think we can have high self-esteem in about some things, but also accept that there are other things that we're not as good at. Or actually, let me take out the word self-esteem. I think we can feel good about being competent at certain things and accept being not as competent at other things. And I think that good self-esteem involves being able to have that balance. You know, where you're not an egomaniac touting yourself, you know, as being great at everything, which you're not. But you're also not, you know, depressed and in the dumps and saying, I'm a failure at everything, which you're not.
Wow. All right, so hold that thought, because when we come back, I want to take the notion of competence and Dr. Tuckman, how you work with individuals and how I work with individuals, because I think that's a little bit of an episode of what's going on. But before we do, I have to share a personal story. It was sometime in June, 6 years ago, when my oldest son, then 12, I was the strongest, smartest, best dad in the world, and apparently I went to bed one night and had a dumbass attack because the next morning he woke up and I didn't know anything. And gradually he's kind of coming out, and I can't remember where I heard this. Maybe it was with you and Dr. Olivardia on a cab.
Yeah.
Right?
I know where you're going with this.
That it was the quote, and let's see if I can recreate this, is that at one point in time, a teenager came out and looked at his dad and said, you know, my dad really got he's really gotten smart over the last 4 years. Articulate that better for me. How does that work?
Sure. So the quote is actually from Mark Twain, where he says, when I was 16, I thought my father was a complete idiot. By the time I reached 20, I was amazed by how much he had learned in 4 years. Which I think is awesome. I use that a lot with the parents of teenagers, by the way. But, you know, I mean, it's just one of those things. Obviously, dad didn't learn that much, and hopefully a few things, but not that much in 4 years. But it's that the teenager's paying attention differently, or the 20-year-old is paying attention to different things than the 16-year-old was.
And that's the whole topic tonight. This is Attention Talk Radio. We're paying attention to attention, and self-esteem has so much to do with what you're paying attention to. With that, we're going to run to a break real quick. For those that want to learn more about Dr. Tuckman, buy the books, download the podcast, adultadhdbook.com. I got that right, Dr. Tuckman?
Yep.
All right. With that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Attendees and exhibitors are invited to participate in CHAD's Regional Education Conference on ADHD that will be held Saturday, September 21st at the Sheraton Dallas Hotel, Dallas, Texas. Details about the regional conference are available on our new website at chad.com. Don't miss this chance to become an exhibitor and sponsor at this regional event.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're having a great I'm having a great conversation with Dr. Ari Tuckman about self-esteem and confidence. And selfishly, Dr. Tuckman, I'm getting a free tuition tonight because I'm learning a lot. Before the break, we were talking about how self-esteem is really about, it's really kind of all in your head, the story you're telling yourself. And we got to the epicenter of something, I think, and that was competence. And normally, I set up hosts by asking them kind of questions, and sometimes I'll either comment or agree. But I'm going to turn it around a little bit here. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit about my philosophies on this. Mostly because of the competence type thing, and then I'd like to talk about your philosophies because we come from different mindsets. I think we end up in the same place. I think they're very complementary, but I think it can maybe shed a little bit of light on some things and also give us some other context. So with that being said, when I'm working with people, they come in, if they have self-esteem issues, I really don't try to address that head on. What I'm trying to do is trying to talk to them and understand how they work. Like, why do you do what you do? So I was on a webinar the other night with Rick Green at Totally ADD, and somehow we got off on talking out loud, and I said, when I'm talking, coaching somebody, and I talk a lot, I go, what's the nature of your conversation? In other words, I don't know the details. I don't know what's kind of going on, because you might be bouncing logic off of people. You might be thinking out loud. You might be organizing your thoughts. You might be trying to brainstorm, but the context is really kind of a big deal. And if I can listen to that and mirror back to that person what's kind of going on, and they realize this is how I work, then it can be very beneficial, because if they didn't understand what they were doing, I don't know how it works. And with that being said, there's a very near, dear person I'm coaching right now, and I'm hoping that we're going to do a show on this pretty soon, that she came in, and the very very way I just described this is we were talking about it, and I mirrored back to her, and I said, I think that you're talking out loud because you're having to put things into a context. In other words, she goes into story because I want you to pay it. I'm going to give you the answer in a minute, but you got to pay attention to it this way. So I'm going to describe that context for you so that when I get to the answer, you're going to understand how I kind of got there. And it was a very fulfilling coaching exercise for me, because when I got done describing the person, yeah, that's it. And all of a sudden they reflected in their life and realized how contextual they were. And the cool part about it was, is in a short period of time, within a week, the person sent me an email and said, my boss walked into the office and said, they asked me a question, and I went into story, and they said, is there an answer in my future anytime soon? And the person looked back to him and said, listen, you're not going to understand my answer until you understand the context. And the person I was coaching described this, you could feel this welling of confidence within them, because they could articulate to them, listen, I'm telling you about the context. You're not going to get what I'm saying to do this. And when they said that to that person, the person backed off for a second and goes, oh. And in that moment, and again, this is usually it takes place over months, not a week. But the point really is that once they where that they were competent in what they were doing and they could understand exactly what they were doing, it gave them the confidence. And I don't want to go into detail, but this person in particular has a job that is the success and failure deals on the context of which you frame things out. And so as a coach, so often I'm trying to understand who they are and, more importantly, how they specifically work. And if we can nail that and they can say, this always works for me and this never works for me, just like everybody out there, you know, I'm a big fan of Dr. Barclay's executive function deficit disorder construct, because it's not an attention issue, it's a self-regulation issue. And you realize that these are the things I always pay attention to and these are the things that I never, it changes it. And that if you can, if I can help somebody understand that they always do this and it always works, that gives them, they realize that they're competent in that, and that gives them confidence. So I went on to story here for a little bit, and I covered a lot of stuff, but Dr. Tuchman, can you comment on that a little bit, just from your perspective?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I sometimes say that one of the big drivers of success, or at least the necessary ingredient of success, is self-knowledge. So it's knowing yourself well. You know, what do I do better with? What do I not do as well with? What do I tend to enjoy? What do I dislike? What qualities, you know, just, I don't know, how do I work, you know? And I think that the better you know yourself, the better you know which situations to put yourself into, which situations to try to avoid, and how to get done the stuff that you got to get done and hopefully want to get done. So, you know, by focusing your client's attention on this aspect of herself, it helped her understand herself a little bit better. And it gave her that ability to see, like, oh, that's why I do that. So it's not just this kind of quirk that she does, but this is why. This is how it's helpful. And yep. By knowing that about herself, she could then feel good about it. Rather than, it, you know, if the boss had said, is there an answer somewhere in my future? And, you know, she could easily get deflated by it and say, oh, I'm screwing it up. I'm not telling the boss what he wants to hear. So she was able to kind of take that self-knowledge and use it in a good way.
And you and I talked about, you know, take a look at and help me out here, because I think that the notion is take a look at what you can control and deal with that. Dissect, move away what you kind of can't control and kind of accept it. And I would like you to comment more on that in detail, but with what I said in this particular situation is, if you understand that, hey, I'm a contextual type person, this is what I do, you can get confidence in that as a characteristic, realizing it's good in some situations and not so good in some others, and then turn and say, this is an area that I struggle with in this particular case, repetitive and boring details. So I'm competent when it comes to contextual type stuff, and I have some confidence. I'm going to accept the fact that I'm not as competent on the repetitive, boring details, and I accept that fact, and I'm going to do some other things. Actually, for me in the coaching world, is if you can make that delineation, self-confidence turns to confidence over a period of time when I can help them identify what it is that they do.
Right. Well, and I think that, you know, good self-esteem involves the ability to be okay with the idea that you don't have to be and that you can't be all things to all people. So I had a client in here last night, first time I was meeting with her, very bright, works really hard, successful at what she does, puts together, you know, part of her job is she does proposals, you know, business proposals, but she has ADHD. She's terrible at proofreading her own stuff. So she puts this stuff together. Most of it's great, but there's these couple like typos or these weird things that got left in or whatever that are just glaringly obvious once you see them. You know, once your attention hits them and sticks, you know, you go, whoa, I can't believe that's in there. So she felt really bad about the fact that she would have these kind of, you know, in her words, these stupid typos in there. So, you know, the reframe that I used with her was to say, you know what, in that, you know, she felt embarrassed when her boss would catch these. The reframe that I had for her was to say to her boss, you know, there's a lot of when it comes to writing proposals, there's a lot of things I can do well. I'm really bad at proofreading my own stuff. Like, I'm just not good at it. And if I need to proofread my own stuff, we're going to be sending out proposals with glaring errors in them. So the alternative is we got to get somebody else around here to proof my stuff so that we all look good. And so as much as I would also kind of tell her, you know, I know you hate proofreading your own stuff and it's really tedious to do it, but just do it anyway. Find a way to make it happen. And yet, at the same time, accept the fact that when you're reading your own stuff, you don't see things as clearly. So stuff is going to slip through. That's okay as long as you do something with it. You know, the thing to do is to go to the boss and say, I need someone to proof my stuff, or to get a coworker to do it or something, rather than just sending it out knowing that there's ticking time bombs in there, you know, that the proposal mostly is great except for a few things that are really kind of, you know, look a little weird or something that are going to turn the client off. So in the interest of everybody in that business doing better, having someone else proof it is going to be a helpful thing. And if she can be just very direct about it and not self-conscious about it, it'll work out better. Because when we get self-conscious, we're not as likely to be open and to ask for help and to show people things. So,
and that self, go ahead. Keep going.
No, go ahead.
That self-conscious, that becomes more of the story that you've been telling yourself and what you're paying attention to. And I really liked what you described, is that based off of what I said, it's you focus on what you kind of can do and accept what you kind of can't do, and then begin to manage around that a little bit and begin to manage the story around telling yourself about what you're competent of doing and what you're not competent of doing, in a sense to remove the emotion, to deal with it as it is.
Yeah, exactly.
So
to accept it and to find a way to be okay with it. Now, being okay doesn't mean, yay, I'm terrible at proofreading. You know, being okay with it means, I wish I was better. Maybe, you know, damn it, I really wish I was better. But you know what? I'm not. Like, I bring other things to the table other than proofreading. Like, that is not one of my big assets. So, you know, if I'm doing enough, but if I do enough other things well, I don't have to be a good proofreader. I don't have to be all things to all people. And, you know, the value of that mindset is then you don't waste time and energy covering up these things, which, you know, let's be honest, when we cover things up, a lot of it winds up being found anyway in time.
Yep.
Or avoiding situations that otherwise would be a good fit and there'd be good things coming from it, if you just find a way to kind of tweak it a little bit so that somebody else covers the stuff that you're not as good at.
I love this conversation so far. Again, I got my money's worth in the first third. I doubled my money in the second third. I'm getting ready to come back in the third. I want to cut to a commercial break here, Dr. Tuckman, real quick. As a reminder, everybody out there, go to adultadhdbook.com. When we come back from the break, just Dr. Tuckman, be thinking about, because I want to begin to address the external world, because the beginning of the show we talked about, you know, self-esteem is a lot of what you're telling you about yourself, and the cool part was if I know what I'm competent, it breeds confidence. And we've talked about some anecdotal type stuff, but when you're out there in the world and your brain wiring is a little different and the world is telling you, don't do this, don't do that, it's just negativity. And so the hard part is for that crowd out there who knows that they're capable to overcome this. And I'd really like to kind of get into a brutally ugly, honest conversation and hit that head on. Because I don't want to minimize it. That's the trick. That's the hard part. But I do think that we've teed up a lot of stuff and can give you a path for that to take place. So with that, Dr. Tuckman, think about that for a little bit. We'll come back in about a minute and a half. We'll go to these breaks. And so with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
You can't go off to school with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention at attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Talk Coach Jeff Copper, and we're here with Dr. Tuckman, and we're having a great conversation about confidence and self-esteem. Dr. Tuckman, let's get to the hard part, the real hard part. And I want to tee this up. Everybody, Dr. Tuckman and I talked about this a little bit, and there's a few things that he had mentioned to me that were amazing to me. One is learned helplessness, and the other one is that notion of, we talked a little bit, Dr. Tuckman, about metacognition, which is kind of thinking about your thoughts and paying attention to your solutions as opposed to paying attention to everybody else's solutions. And this is Attention Talk Radio. We pay attention to attention, and I think that's the epicenter of it, is if you grow up with ADHD and the world is telling you to pay attention to what you can't do, you can't do this, you can't do that, and whatever, and you're supposed to come up with solutions that work our way. Like, I do it like this, it should work this way for you. And I have this philosophy that similar is different, it's not the same. Same is the same, it's the exact same, but similar is not similar as terms of same, it's different. And that thus we have different solutions. And one of my philosophies is if human beings were the same, there'd only be one self-help book in the bookstore. Because if we're the same, we'd all do it the same way. But the fact is, there's many, many differences. And so, I want to kind of work our way into this conversation. Is that those with ADHD do it differently, and the world is telling them, no, you got to do it our way, and that leads to this learned helplessness. I got those words from you. Talk about that for a little bit, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, you know. Having ADHD does mean that there's a lot of things that you do differently than other people. Now, granted, two people with ADHD aren't exactly the same as each other. So, you know, one person may have more trouble with this and the other person has more trouble with that. But, you know, whatever it is that you have going on, ADHD is going to give you certain struggles that people without ADHD tend to not have as many of. Now, granted, people without ADHD, they got, you know, like everyone's got their struggles. So, but some of the struggles of ADHD tend to be a little bit more obvious to other people. So you show up late, you forgot to do your homework, you know, you're not paying attention to the meeting, and then that becomes obvious because somebody calls on you. You know, you impulsively spend too much money. You know, these are things that are obvious to other people, or at least eventually they become obvious to other people. So so it's easy to get into that kind of learned helplessness mindset of, I can try to do better with this, but it doesn't usually work out anyway. Or it works a little bit for a little while, and then it all falls back. Especially when you've tried and tried, and you always wind up in the same place. And I think this is especially true for those adults in the world. So let's say people who are 35 and older, who are really unlikely to be diagnosed as kids. So they spend a lot of their life struggling with this stuff and not really understanding why certain things happen to them more often. As opposed to a kid who was diagnosed earlier, understand themselves maybe a little bit better in this way, or has been treated, has had accommodation, so they found ways to be more successful. But I think if you're an adult who struggled with this and continued to struggle despite good effort and despite good intentions, it's easy to get this negative mindset or this pessimistic mindset of, like, what's the point? It's not going to work out anyway. So you just kind of, you know, go through life kind of doing the best you can, always wondering what the next thing is that's going to blow up on you.
And that is the epicenter of it. And listening to the world tell you the way you're supposed to be. The hard part, to me, is how do you pay attention to how you work? Dr. Tuckman, earlier we talked about competence, understanding what you're competent in, and accept what you can and not what you can't. But isn't the hard part really kind of focusing and really trying to identify what it is you do so that you can override public opinion?
It is. And I think that, you know, it's easy to be convinced by public opinion. You know, and it's that kind of classic thing of, you know, for a lot of folks with ADHD, where if you cared more, then you would have done that thing. Or if you had tried harder, then it would have worked out better. So it's easy to kind of believe that and say, well, I thought I cared and tried hard, but I don't know, maybe I didn't. And, you know, and then you're in that negative mindset and, you know, that doesn't really take you anywhere good. So, you know, a big part of what I talk about with clients with ADHD is to make their intentions clear that, you know, if they had an ADHD moment, something didn't work out, to make it clear that, you know what, I know this didn't work out, but really it was important to me, or I did intend to do it, or whatever, you know, so to show that the intention is there, so to draw people's attention to the intention, you know, that you intended to do it. And then, of course, to make some amends, so to confront the situation, deal with it directly rather than kind of hiding and hope it goes away. But, you know, that takes some self-esteem to kind of walk into the fire and say, man, I really screwed this up. What can I do to fix this, or what can I do to make some amends about it?
Now, this is getting, everybody, this is getting a little bit complicated here, but that direct your attention to what your intentions are and that focus of moving forward, and bear with me here because I don't know if I'm going to articulate this kind of correctly. Dr. Tuckman, do you remember the show that we did with you and Barbara Luther about the difference between ADHD coaching and CBT?
Mm-hmm. I do.
It was a fascinating interview because you're so well educated on the, I'm going to say the therapy model, but the CBT side. And we were having this conversation going back and forth. And at the end of the day, my aha in that conversation was, hey, a good idea is a good idea. I don't really care where it kind of came from.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of that conversation I felt like is pertinent here because it's about focusing in on what your intention is and studying, and again, everybody, forgive me, we're getting a little heady here, but being a scientist in your own mind, and Dr. Tuckman and I have done a show on attention, we've done a show on intuition, and we've also done an Attention Talk video on metacognition. And metacognition is thinking about what you're thinking, thinking about the story that you're telling yourself. And the notion here is, as you begin to understand what your intention is and focus in on that to back up and accept this is what I'm my struggles to get to that intention and this is what's kind of working and being able to make that observation, again, this is really hard for me to describe, and to witness how you naturally do it is really the hard part and the trick. And I'll acknowledge that if everybody's telling you got to do it this way, and it's not working, as I say, if the obvious solution isn't working, you're not paying attention to the wrong thing, so often you need to pay attention to how you do it because that will get you there. Your own intuition and what your body's saying will lead you that direction. And so I got to say, I don't think I'm articulating this very well. Dr. Tuckman, if you're getting what I'm saying, help me out here a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, I think it's hard sometimes to notice what we're doing, because we're doing it and trying to notice, because you have to do it and notice it at the same time and hope that the noticing and the paying attention to it doesn't change it, because that sometimes happens, you know, when we watch ourselves. It's kind of like, you know, I don't know, watching yourself drive the car or, you know, or watching your golf swing or something, and then all of a sudden it's like you're doing it different.
Yep.
So yeah, it's kind of observing it. But I think that, you know, what can happen is that, you know, we're social creatures, and that's a good thing. Like, we learn a lot from the people around us, and we learn a lot from the people who came before us. Like, you don't have to burn your hand on the stove to know, don't touch the stove when it's hot. You'll burn your hand because someone has told you that. So in a lot of ways, that's a really good thing, but sometimes it isn't, because I think that, you know, in this situation that you're describing of being told that you have to do it this way, it's like that being told kind of overrides your own personal experience, or you believe those words rather than your own experience, which is, I know I'm supposed to do it this way, but this isn't working for me. This, I don't like doing it this way, or it just doesn't make sense, or it doesn't click, or it doesn't work. But, you know, it just becomes ingrained that it should work, and there must be something wrong with me, or I'm not doing it right, and that's why it isn't working, rather than this isn't working because this is the wrong thing for me. And I think that you need to kind of pay attention to what that experience is like when you're doing it and it isn't working, and try to identify why it isn't working.
Dr. Tuckman, I'm having another aha. And everybody out there listening, I'm trying to stand in your shoes and listening to what I'm saying and listen to what he's saying, because I get what he's saying, and I think he blah, blah, blah. But if I'm standing in your shoes, I'm confused at this point. I know if I'm you, I know where I want to be. The cloudiness is, how do I get there? And here's what I want to invite. Is if you're listening to this show and you get what I just said, send me an email at attention@attentiontalkradio.com. Again, attention@attentiontalkradio.com. Because I'd like to hear you guys' feedback on this, because I think that's the real, real, real trick. And I do think personally that there's a difference, because let me give you an example. I did an interview. I'm a huge, huge fan of Wilma Feldman, who's an ADHD career counselor. And I'll tell you this little story is, I met her at a conference a couple years ago. She walked up and said, I want to be on your radio show. And I went after her like there's no tomorrow. Like, I have a problem with career counselors because I think that they get it all wrong. And she's like, oh, but I think I got it right. And I actually went to her presentation. I'm like, holy crap, she gets it. And ever since then, we've done multiple shows. And in a nutshell, as a coach, I look at how a person does things, what their gifts are, and what they're passionate about. And that is things that you're born with. Skills, knowledge, and experience that career counselors typically look at are things that are transferable from one person to another. So imagine you can learn how to use a knife, you can read a book on lasagna, and you can make lasagna every night for 10 years. That doesn't mean you're a really good chef. That means you can execute methodical steps to get to where you're going. Being a really good chef is, in the Food Network sense, is walking into Kitchen Stadium, getting a secret ingredient, and making something good to eat in five different courses in within an hour. That's the demarcation. And going back to the competence thing, to tie these two together, the issue really is in this world is everybody wants to say, hey, here's what you – they give you the methodical answer, and the trick really is if you have ADHD, how do you figure out what you're competent in when the whole world is telling you what you're incompetent in? And again, I don't want to leave you hanging here a little bit, because the idea is that's the epicenter of it. But if you hear this show, send me an email, because I'd like to learn a little bit from this. Because at the end of the day, Dr. Tuckman, you and I have talked a lot about this stuff, and my big aha is if you know what you're competent in, it breeds confidence, which overcomes the negative self-esteem. But to me, the struggle is if you don't know what to pay attention to determine what you're competent in, and what was your word? I loved it. Learned helplessness, and you begin to pay attention to everybody else's solution, not focusing on yours. So I'm going to diatribe. I want to give you an opportunity. Dr. Tuckman, you want to comment on that a little bit? Because, again, that was
sure.
My opinion. According to me, doesn't mean it's fact, so give me some balance here.
Yeah, you know, as a therapist, a lot of what I do is change is – well, I would, let me back it off a little bit. A lot of what I do is help people see things that have already happened in a different light. So I don't go out there and do it with them or for them, but, you know, we take what it is that they've already had happen, or we take, you know, what they will have happening, so like, what do you got coming up this week sort of stuff, and you know, we change their interpretation of the events that have already happened or on the horizon to happen. So, and one of the ways that we do that is we change what they're paying attention to in the situation. And through that, we change their interpretations of it because, you know, if you have too negative a mindset about yourself or your self-esteem is too low, I'm going to steal this line from someone else, but it's sort of like snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. You know, something goes well, but you still see it in this negative light because you're convinced that it's always going to be negative. So you focus on the, you know, couple negative aspects of it, and then, you know, it's easy to kind of get down on yourself about it. So as a therapist, what we do is we talk about, well, okay, yeah, there was that, but I wonder if there was something else, or what about this part of it, and here was this other thing that happened, I wonder if there's another way, you know, can we think about this in a different kind of way, or do you have to feel that way that you're feeling? And we kind of open up the possibilities of other ways of seeing the same exact situation, because otherwise we just, you know, we keep seeing things the same way we've seen them, and then if you have low self-esteem, you're esteem stays low because you're not grabbing the victories that are there.
Wait a second. I got a problem with this. Are you telling me you're an attention coach?
It would appear that I am.
Right, you used the word therapist. For years, I had an aha a couple years ago. I'm a coach, just like an athletic coach or anything else. I'm coaching your attention. And you use the word therapist, but everything you described is you're coaching everybody's attention just like I am.
We are, absolutely.
I got to tell you something. I'm pretty happy. I didn't pay as much money as you did for your education to get there.
Right.
By the way.
Well, but, you know, attention is where it all begins. In terms of anything else that happens inside your head, it all begins with attention. If you don't first pay attention to it, there's nothing there to do anything with. So yeah, I mean, with you being an attention coach and focusing on what people are paying attention to, you're kind of getting into them on the very first step in the thinking and feeling process. So
yeah,
it's a good point of intervention.
But here's the thing is, you're a therapist, I'm a coach, but at the end of the day, what you're telling me is we're doing the same thing. We both coach people's attention.
Yeah, I mean, fundamentally, I think that is what we're doing. You know,
holy
I think
shit.
We dress it up a little differently, but yeah.
You dress up the pig with a tutu and I do with a hat, no big deal. It's still the same pig, right? But here's the fun part of today is as I mentioned to everybody is we got into this where we're going back and forth and Dr. Tuckman, I've learned a lot from you tonight. Well, let me back up. I think I got this, but you've helped me articulate a little bit. But the cool part about to me is that you bill yourself as a therapist, but it goes back to that conversation that we had with Barbara Luther about the difference between ADHD coaching and therapy. And the whole reason why I think I'm always gravitating, you know, we did that the interview on what is attention and what is intuition in the Attention Talk video and metacognition. And the thing that we're going to do hopefully sometime soon on boredom, at the end of the day, the reason I like you so much is you're focused on attention. By the way, if you ever use the word attention coach, I want credit for it, just so you know.
Okay.
I want to be clear. I got it.
I'll mention your name.
This is July the 31st, which, by the way, this is my 50th birthday tonight, so it's a milestone
for
a couple different reasons. So just clear, it's documented in the world. If he ever does it, I want royalties from it, or I'll license it to you. But at the end of the day, the reason that the attraction is we come about it from a little bit different ways. We agree. We're coaching people's attention, and tonight was fundamentally about how you see yourself, which at the end of the day is how do you pay attention to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And fundamentally, I can tell you on my side, I don't address self-esteem up front. I try to help you figure out what you're competent in first. And if I can nail that, then confidence will follow. Yet, and we didn't get into this in detail, Dr. Tuckman, you had talked about accept what you can control and accept what you can't.
Mm-hmm.
Loosely interpreted is accept what you're competent in and accept what you're not competent in. And if either model can help you figure out how to get to that same path, the nirvana is the same outcome, and that is if you can figure out what you're competent in, it will give you confidence. If you can accept what you're not in, that can move you forward. So with that being said, comment. I think I'm done, unless you disagree.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that, you know, I mean, to really feel good about yourself, you need to, I don't know, like ultimately you got to do a good job at stuff, whether it's, you know, work, or whether it's your relationship or parenting or your hobbies or whatever. But, like, you know, it's a matter of using the gifts that you have, acting with integrity, doing the right thing even when it's hard, and especially when it's hard. You know, so it's, you know, it's, there is some hard work in there. It's not just about feeling great about yourself while you sit on the couch all day. So absolutely, work hard and all of that. But at the same time, recognizing that there are limits to how good we can do, or there are limits to how much better we can do in certain things. So, you know, if you have ADHD, certain things may always be a bit of a struggle, but it doesn't have to necessarily limit your life. But, you know, some things will always be a struggle, and to sort of accept that. So you're working hard on the one hand on the things that you can, and then you're accepting the things that remain. You know, so let's say getting places on time, like you're better at it and you're using good strategies and you're setting alarms and it helps, but you're still not perfect. Maybe the rest of it is like, you know what, that just is a part of who I am. This will always be a bit of a struggle, but I'll get there, you know. Or no, I shouldn't even say that. It's not I'll get there, but, you know, this will always be a bit of a struggle, but I bring other good things to the table. And that's why it's worth, you know, I'm a good friend or a good spouse or a good employee or a good whatever. You know, so it's kind of, it's both sides of the coin, doing well and also accepting the places that you're not going to do as well.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Dr. Tuckman, today has been worth its salt and water. I do want to end this because you sparred a personal story that I want to share with you in terms of our listeners in terms of acceptance,
mm-hmm.
And that is this, is for those that have listened to me, you know I have ADHD, and dyslexia, and learning disability, and I was a horrible student. I was a gifted athlete. I went to college on a swimming scholarship. I had an incredible work ethic, got there, and then this is amazing to me because I compete. I went to Olympic trials in 80 and 84 as a college All-American. I almost made World Game Trials in 82, but it was interesting to me because I encountered an individual at one point in time who just had more talent than I was, and it frustrated me. My father called me on the carpet one day because I was pissed off because I got second, and he said, "You little shit, you're in the top 0.99999999% of your world, and you're comparing yourself to the other guy." And it was interesting to me because in that moment, I got realization. The story I was telling myself was that, wait a second, it was really a little bit different. And I'm proud now of the fact that, yeah, I was in a race one time where a world record was broken, and I got beat and all that kind of stuff. But you know something? I come to accept it, and I'm proud of the fact that I pushed that guy to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Had I not been there, he might not have worked very hard. And it's a weird kind of story, but I changed the story that I'm telling myself, and it's given me an amazing amount of confidence ever since because I was the guy that helped that happen. Because in the absence of that, and I'll never forget this, I was in a hot tub one time. I think it was at World Game Trials in 82 with Steve Lundquist. At one point in time, I had the world record in the 100 breaststroke. He said, first is first and second is last. And if you pay attention to that story, everybody else has a negative self-esteem except for one. But you got to remember, the guy who has broke the world record, he's got other issues in his life, so we're all losers in that. And so I don't really know what that means other than I'm sharing that with you, is that it was in the moment that I refrained that a little bit, and I've been very proud, and I have talked about it and used it ever since. As confidence, because I know I can do things because I've accomplished it in that world, and it's done an amazing amount of self-esteem because I know that I'm a competent athlete, and it has had a lot to do with success in my professional life. So with that, Dr. Tuckman, I share that with everybody. Take that for what it's worth. But anyway, Dr. Tuckman, thank you so much for coming on the show again. AdultADHDBook.com. With that, Dr. Tuckman, thank you so much.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. You always bring the best out of me.
Well, hey, that's a compliment in itself, and we'll have to reconnect. Everybody, watch our show on boredom. That's going to come out relatively soon. So with that, again, thank you, everybody. Catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio.
Good night, everybody.